turn to the book of John, chapter 4, looking at the subject of worship. We're come to not the last lesson, but the last section on this series. But in John chapter 4, we see Christ speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. We've read these verses over and over. But in verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth," and in truth. We see that the true worshipers shall worship the Father. The very mention of true worshipers, the very mention of the word true, implies the existence of that which is false. So the fact that there are true worshipers implies that there are also false worshipers. Now, human beings are instinctively worshiping creatures. That is, we are going to worship something. We are going to worship someone. Everyone here worships something or someone. The issue becomes what or whom and how will people worship? Will our worship be true? Will our worship be false? Now, of course, true worship of God ought to be the desire, ought to be the pursuit, ought to be the occupation of all of God's people. It ought to be the desire and the pursuit and the occupation of all of mankind. That ought to be our desire, to truly worship the Lord. And as we've seen throughout this series, man is the worshiper. And God is the worshipped. The order is never to be reversed. If God is not the object, it cannot possibly be true worship. If God is not the starting point, if he's not the object, if he's not the subject, the source, and the authority, then it cannot be true worship. So worship, of course, must be in agreement with God, and we've already seen that. It has to be in conformity with God. It is to be carried out under the influence of the Holy Spirit, which means that it will be carried out in a spiritual manner for the honor and glory of God, and will proceed from a heart that is overflowing with reverence for God and with godly desires. We've seen that true worship is performed by a heart that is united to God, and we've seen all the various activities that are involved in worship. We want to begin looking at how this worship is illustrated throughout the Word of God. We're just going to look at a few examples through the next coming weeks of this worship, examples of this worship in the Word of God. And as we look at these things, we see everything that we've said thus far is illustrated in these accounts. Tonight we'd like to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And we'll read the first 14 verses. And I believe that true worship is illustrated by Abraham leading up to and upon Mount Moriah. And we see this beginning with Genesis 22 and verse 1. "And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he, Abraham, said, Behold, here I am. And he, God, said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. We see in verse 5, we have the first use of the word worship. It's the first time that the word occurs in the Word of God. That being said, it is not the first act of worship. Adam and Eve worshiped God. They taught Abel and Cain about worship, and we see that Abel worshiped God. Certainly Enoch, who walked with God, certainly Enoch worshiped the Lord. And we know that Noah worshiped God. But this is the first time that the word worship occurs. And in the first mention of this word, we see many, many characteristics of worship. And these are very clearly seen. We want to see, first of all, we want to notice these characteristics. True worship, first of all, is based upon an awareness of God. We've already seen this throughout the past months. And we see it here in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. God speaks directly to Abraham. Abraham was aware at this moment. Abraham was aware of the presence of God. You cannot worship God if you are not aware of the presence of God. At this very moment, Abraham was aware of the presence of God. But not only that, Abraham was sensitive to the voice of God. And this is evident from his response, Behold, here I am. So he's aware of the presence of God. He is sensitive to the voice of God. In other words, God had the full attention of Abraham. And you cannot worship God if God does not have your attention. So we see at this moment, God had Abraham's full attention. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham responded. So there was a connection between Abraham and God. We've already seen that in order to worship God, our hearts have to be united with God. And we see that there was a connection between Abraham and God. There was an interaction going on between Abraham and God. God spoke, Abraham responded. There's an interaction. And in all true worship, there must be an awareness of God. There must be an awareness of His presence. The attention of the worshiper must be upon God, and there must be contact with God, and there must be an interaction between God and the worshiper. And oftentimes, people go through the motions of worship. They do so without any real awareness of who God is. They do so without any awareness of His presence. And they do so many, many, many times, void of attention to God. That is, they go through the motions of worship, but are not paying attention to God at all. That's not worship. God must have our attention. So again, if there's not this awareness of God's presence, if there's not this contact and interaction between God and the worshiper, and if there's not an attention given to God, that cannot possibly be true worship. But we see here in the very first verse that Abraham had an awareness of God. Abraham's attention is focused upon God. Why do you think the devil works so hard in a church service to distract your attention? Because the devil knows you cannot worship God if you are not paying attention to Him. The devil knows that. Sad to say, worshipers are ignorant of that fact. But the devil works so very, very hard to just distract our attention. We must be aware of God's presence. Secondly, we see that true worship requires a willing response to God. Abraham's response to the voice of God was, "Behold, here I am." So God spoke, and Abraham's heart was affected in a positive way by the voice of God. You cannot worship God if your heart is not affected by the voice of God. If your heart is not affected in a positive way by the voice of God. Abraham's response was simply, "Behold, here I am." But in that response, there are several things revealed. It was a response that revealed a spirit of willingness to do whatever God said. "Behold, here I am." All worship must have a spirit of willingness. In this response, there is a spirit of readiness. Not only willing to do whatever God would have us to do, but ready to do whatever God would have us to do. Not only is there willingness, not only is there readiness, we see also in this response, there is a spirit of submission toward God. "Behold, here I am." You cannot worship God and be in rebellion against God. You cannot worship God and be fighting against God. You cannot worship God and be offended by God. In order to truly worship God, we have to have a spirit of submission unto Him. Also in this response, we see a spirit of a desire to please God. Abraham, God speaks. Abraham is immediately moved, and he responds, "Behold, here I am." That shows a spirit of desire to please the Lord. Also, I believe it shows a desire to hear further from God. God said, Abraham. And the Lord, and Abraham said, Behold, here I am. In other words, Lord, speak on. I want to hear what you have to say. So true worship requires a willing response to God. In his response, it shows that Abraham was available to God. When God said, Abraham, and Abraham said, Behold, here I am, what he was saying is, God, I am available. What do you want? That spirit has to be in true worship. Without that spirit, we do not truly worship God. And in his response, Behold, here I am, Abraham is taking his proper place before God. So far we see that there is an awareness of God. Abraham responds to the voice of God. Abraham is paying attention to God. These things are absolutely necessary if we are going to truly worship God. Thirdly, we see that true worship involves a revelation from God. God spoke in verse 1, Abraham. And then he begins to give instruction. In other words, he begins to reveal his will to Abraham. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. You have the presence of God, you have the awareness of God's presence, you have God speaking, you have God instructing. He instructs Abraham. He makes known to Abraham exactly what he wants him to do. You cannot ignorantly worship God. There has to be a revelation. There has to be an unveiling from God. And it was in response to a word from God that Abraham acted. In our worship, is to be in response to a word from God. But what this illustrates here is that true worship must be in accordance with God's word. Everything that goes from this point on is in accordance with what God said. And in order to be true worship, as we saw last week, we have to worship in truth. It has to be in accordance with the Word. It has to be in accordance with the will of God. It's not about our feelings. It's not about our opinion. It's all about, thus saith the Lord. Fourthly, we see true worship requires a costly presentation to God. We see in verse 2 that he tells Abraham to offer up his son Isaac upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. That this is costly, he reminds Abraham that this is his only son whom thou lovest. Worship of God requires a costly presentation to God. In other words, worship is not cheap, and it is not to be done thoughtlessly. It is not to be done carelessly. The fact that this involves his only son Isaac, whom he loves, and it involves the offering of sacrifice of this son, this is not something that Abraham could do without thought. This is not something Abraham would be careless about. And in all true worship, it cannot be carried out thoughtlessly. It cannot be carried out haphazardly. Under the law of God, God commanded that the best be offered unto him. And we see this throughout the Word of God. But we must say it's not merely a costly presentation to God. It is a presentation of what God requires. You can't just offer anything you please. It can be costly, but if it's not what God requires, it's not good enough. God required that Abraham offer his son. So not only is it a costly presentation, it is a presentation of what God requires. Worship must be in accord with the requirements of God. We see in Hebrews 13 and 15 that worship is referred to as a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice denotes cost. True worship is costly. It's costly. It will cost you something. It will cost you something every time you truly worship the Lord. We see that this was the failure of Israel during the days of Malachi. In Malachi 1, verses 7 and 8. We'll not turn there. We've read those verses a few different times. But we see that the rebuke was that they were bringing the lame and the halt to God. And God challenges them. Bring them to your governor and see if he'll accept them. In other words, the governor doesn't want them and I don't want them. You bring the best that you have. But it's not just the best that you have. It has to be what God requires. You can't just choose what you'll present. God has a requirement. So there must be a willingness to present to God whatever He requires. The best that we have. Fifthly, we see true worship involves personal preparation. Again, we've already covered all of these things in the last several months, but we see this illustrated here in Genesis 22. In verse 3, notice the preparation. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up. Before he left to worship God, he had to make some preparation. He got up early. He saddled his donkey. He gathered Isaac. And he split the wood. All of this was in preparation to do what God had told him to do. Abraham's preparation was a preparation to leave where he was. Why did he rise up early? To leave where he was and go where God would meet him. Why did he saddle the donkey? To leave where he was. So this preparation was done in order to leave where he was and go to the place where God had appointed. And in all true worship, there must be a preparation to be in the place where God would have us. To be in that place where God would have us. Abraham could not just say, well, I'll offer up Isaac over here. No, God said, you have to go to a mountain that I will show you. You have to be in the place where God has appointed. It's not for you and I to decide where that place is. That's universal church. God has already told us. And we are to make preparation to be in that place. Very simple. And Abraham makes this preparation. You'll notice that Abraham's preparation corresponded to what God wanted him to do. God told him, offer up your son Isaac. So Abraham gathered Isaac. And he said, offer him as a sacrifice. So Abraham cut wood. All of Abraham's preparation corresponded to what God wanted. And in our preparation to worship, it must correspond to God's will. It must correspond to what God would have us to do. Again, all true worship must be in accord with the will of God. Even the preparation must be in accord with the will of God. Abraham's preparation was with intent and purpose. And Abraham rose up early. I believe he intended to do so. And I believe he did so on purpose. He went out and saddled his donkey. He intended to do so. He did not accidentally saddle that donkey. He did so with intention. He did so with purpose. He cut the wood with intention and purpose. He gathered Isaac with intention and purpose. So all of his preparation was with intent and purpose of obeying God. No one accidentally worships God. You intend to worship God. You purpose to worship God. You do not accidentally stumble in and worship the Lord. It requires preparation. And that preparation is with intent and purpose. Abraham's preparation, no doubt, involved great thought. No doubt involved great meditation upon what God had said and upon God's goodness and faithfulness to him. You'll never convince me that when Abraham got up that morning, he did not give great thought and meditation to what God had told him to do. And that as he went outside and saddled that donkey, Abraham is thinking about God. How good God's been to him. How faithful God's been to him. As he's out there cutting that wood, Abraham is thinking about what God has said. As he gathers Isaac, Abraham is thinking about God. So we see in his preparation, his heart was affected. His heart was stirred. When Abraham got up that morning, his heart was affected. His heart was stirred. When Abraham went out and chopped wood and saddled that donkey and gathered Isaac, his heart was affected and stirred. He was preparing. And even the preparation affected and stirred his heart. So you see, even before we come to perform the actual act of worship, our hearts need to be affected. Our hearts need to be stirred. And with a heart that has been affected and a heart that has been stirred, we make preparation to worship the Lord. Abraham's preparation was focused upon the desires of God. You read verse 3, there's nothing about what Abraham wanted to do. It's all about what God had instructed him to do. All his preparation was to meet the desires of God. And in all true worship, even in our preparation, there must be a focus upon God. Abraham's preparation involved a rising above self. A rising above self-interest. A rising above self-ways. and arising above self-concerns. We're not even talking about the act of worship yet. We're just in the preparation. And even in the preparation, there has to be a rising above our own inclinations. Certainly is not the inclination of Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. He had to rise above human emotion. He had to rise above human reasoning in his preparation to worship the Lord. You know, a lot of people don't mention it, but what's Abraham going to tell Sarah? Sarah, I killed Abraham today, or I killed Isaac today. Sarah presents a problem. Sarah presents a great concern, but Abraham isn't concerned. He's preparing, and he rises above fleshly inclination. And God's instruction went against all fleshly inclination, and Abraham, even his preparation, had to rise above fleshly inclinations. And in all true worship, there must be an overcoming of the flesh. And it begins with our preparation. It begins there. You know why most people, most of God's people, do not prepare to worship? Because carnally, you are not inclined to do so. You have to rise above carnal inclinations to worship. And most never do that. And therefore, most never truly worship. Sixthly, true worship involves obedience. Abraham's response in verse 3 was unquestioning. It was prompt. It was full. He rose up early in the morning. He was eager. He was eager to make preparation for the doing of what God had commanded. Eager to make preparation. Eager to obey what God said. The truth is, if we are not eager to obey God, we are not ready to worship God. Are we eager to obey God? Come Wednesday, come Sunday. Because if we're not eager to obey God, we're not ready to worship. Abraham's heart is united with God as he prepares to do what God said. And all of this led to, in verse 3, the latter part of the verse, and went unto the place of which God told him. He made preparation, and then he went. Now, most people today, if they got around to going, they wouldn't have got up early. They wouldn't have saddled the donkey. They wouldn't have gathered Isaac. And they may go to the place and show up. But just showing up at the place, you're to offer Isaac. Where is he? Well, I left him at home. Well, it's not going to work. There has to be preparation. So for all of these people, well, at least I was there. I'm sorry. That's not good enough. What if Abraham showed up at Moriah without Isaac, and God, would God have said, well, Abraham, I'm glad you showed up? I don't think so. That's not good enough. You have to show up prepared to do what God said. And Abraham did this. True worship involves a progression. Verse 4, then on the third day, 3 days, for 3 days, Abraham moved forward and advanced toward the actual act of worship. For 3 days, traveled some 40 miles to get to Mount Moriah. For 3 days, he's making progress for the act of worship. That ought to describe our week. Everything we do during the week ought to be progressing toward the day of worship. We ought to be advancing toward that place. And I believe for 3 days, Abraham progressed in his awareness of God. I believe as Abraham walked or was traveling those 3 days, he became more and more and more aware of God. And I believe he became more and more sensitive to God. And I believe he became more and more willing, and he became more and more ready to do what God would have him to do. For 3 days, Abraham advanced in submission to God. For 3 days, Abraham advanced in his desire for God. For 3 days, Abraham advanced in his intent and purpose to do what God would have him to do. For 3 days, Abraham meditated upon the goodness and faithfulness of God. For 3 days, Abraham recalled the goodness and faithfulness of God. For 3 days, Abraham is advancing in obedience to God. And for 3 days, Abraham is overcoming fleshly inclinations. That again should describe our week. Preparation for worship isn't a half hour before Sunday school. Preparation for worship, as soon as the services are ended, we then begin to prepare for the next one. And everything we do ought to be a progression toward the worship of the Lord. But the lives of many, instead of their week being a progression toward the place of worship, their week causes them not to be able to worship God. But we ought to be advancing in our worship. For 3 days, Abraham's heart is being more and more moved and more stirred. Abraham is advancing further and further and further from the cares of home to the place of worship. Each day, each step took him a little further from the cares of the world to that place where God would have him to be. No doubt there was also a progression of anticipation on Abraham's part. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. How did he know that was the place? God told him. God told him where to go. There's anticipation, and that anticipation's getting greater and greater and greater as each day progresses. That ought to describe our lives. That ought to describe our week. As each day passes, we ought to be anticipating even more and more and more. The day of worship is coming. True worship involves a progression of heart and soul. We see, eighthly, that true worship involves faith. Abraham believed and trusted that God would deliver Isaac. This is clearly brought out in his words to his young men. In verse 5, in the latter part of that verse, he says, "And we'll come again to you." His faith is also seen in his response to his son Isaac in verse 8. And we see God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham had faith. Worship requires coming to God. And coming to God requires faith, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. So in all true worship, there is an exercise of faith. not only an exercise of faith, there is a progression of faith. Ninthly, true worship involves a coming apart unto God. We see in verse 3 that he left his house and went unto the place of which God had told him. And then as he's traveling toward that place, he has a determination and a willingness to leave worldly associations. He said in verse 5 to the young men, he said, "Abide ye here while I go yonder and worship." And then he left them and went to that mountain. And in all true worship, there must be a going from here to yonder. You cannot worship without going from here to yonder. And we see there is a progression of coming apart. In verse 9, in verse 5, we see that there was a determination to depart or to come apart in verse 9. And so they went both of them together in verse 8. Verse 9, and they came to the place. They came to the place which God told him of. So now Abraham is at the place. Keep in mind everything we've said up to this point. He didn't just show up. He's there prepared. He has made preparation. He has come to the place, and he is prepared to do what God would have him to do. We see true worship involves great thoughtfulness. As Abraham prepared to worship, and as he spent 3 days moving toward the place where God would have him to go, and he gathered the wood and the fuel and the knife there in verse 6, and as he and Isaac left the young men and headed to that place in verses 6 and 7, and as he built an altar in verse 9, and it says that he laid the wood in order, he was careful to do it God's way. All of this, there was great thoughtfulness. Every act, I believe Abraham is thinking and meditating upon God. 11th, true worship involves an actual presentation. We've already seen it requires, but it involves an actual presentation to God. Notice verse 10. When verse 9, and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Had not God intervened, I believe Abraham would have killed Isaac, believing that God would raise him up again. But the point here is that Abraham was willing to let go of all and give to God. You can't worship God truly holding on to what God says let go of. It's not true worship. He was willing to let go in order to present to God. And in order to present to God, you have to let go of it. You don't just give it and take it back. You have to let go. In all true worship, there's not only a willingness to let go, there is an actual letting go of whatever God requires. True worship, 12thly, involves an open ear and a ready response to God's voice. Just as Abraham was about to slay his son Isaac, God spoke directly to him from heaven. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." Abraham has made preparation. Abraham now hears the voice of God. He recognized that voice. And again, his response was the same as it was back in verse 1. Here I am. Response that shows a spirit of willingness and readiness and submission. Response to do what God would have him to do. We see true worship involves a display of reverence toward God. The fact that Abraham had reverence of God in his heart is clearly seen throughout the account. But the fact that he was ready, the fact that he was willing to give all, was a display of reverence to God. Verse 12, and he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God." Abraham, you have shown, you have displayed that you reverence, that you have a respect unto God. How did he display that reverence? By willing to give all. So if reverence is displayed by a willingness to give all and the actual act of giving all, what does it mean if we're not willing to give all? Well, that would be irreverence, wouldn't it? Can you irreverently worship God? I don't think so. We have to be willing to give all. True worship involves a personal experience of God's provision. Worship is not a spectator sport where you just sit back and observe. That's what a lot of people do. They come in and they sit back and they observe. And just like the fan at the ball game, they criticize, they find fault. They're just there to observe. But Abraham experienced personally. He experienced God. He experienced God's provision. Again, Abraham in faith and with full assurance told Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And then Abraham actually experienced that. He experienced what he believed. And I believe that Abraham went to that mountain expecting God to provide himself a lamb. And he experienced it. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham experienced the goodness and the faithfulness of God. He experienced personally the miraculous provision of the Lord. And then lastly, true worship no doubt involves a display of emotion, thankfulness, and praise. In consequence of what he had just experienced, in verse 13, the latter part of the verse says, Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And all the joy that filled his heart, the awe of God that filled his heart at this time, the thankfulness that filled his heart at this time, the love and the praise that filled his heart at this time. Abraham feels something very, very special as he offers that ram to the Lord. I said lastly, this time I mean it, lastly, True worship involves an open proclamation of God's goodness and faithfulness. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, meaning God supplies or God provides. This is true worship. And as you read this and as you study this, once again, we see just how far, far short we come of true worship. It's truly sad. It's truly sad today. The habit of worship that God's people have. It's sad. It's pitiful. And what is so sad is the masses see nothing wrong with their so-called worship. But we come so far short. So far short. You know, you hear people say every now and then, oh, remember such and such a service 20 years ago. That was great. You know, you stop and think. Maybe those special services were the only times we truly worshiped. Oh, they're so far and few between. Yes, they are. Perhaps, emphasis on perhaps, those are the only times we have truly worshiped God. And most people can count those times on two hands. Perhaps those are the only times we truly worship the Lord. And it's getting worse. Because people today are more entangled in the world than they have been all our lifetime. Preparation, it doesn't even exist today hardly with most people. Doesn't exist. Living our lives through the week, progressing closer to the act of worship. Very, very few. And it's going to get worse because people become more and more and more narcissistic every single day. People become more and more entangled every single day. And to content themselves, they just go through the motions of worship. But in their hearts and minds, they know there's nothing there. So then they come up with the bright ideas. We need to liven up our worship services. We need to do something. Yes, you do. What people need to do is get right with God and prepare to worship. But coming up with a new program, I'm sorry, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. Because it's much, much deeper than that. It's much, much more serious than that. And every time God's people say, well, we just need to do something to liven up, the devil just, he's in glee. You're doing exactly what he wants you to do. And God's people continue not to worship the Lord. Again, we need to carefully examine our own worship personally. We need to examine our habits, what we do to prepare to worship the Lord. God help us. Brother Mark, if you come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand, brother.